There was a national championship game tonight between Georgia and TCU. And I know this because that's what everybody was talking about. And when I flipped the game on, I saw that it was 65-7. That is what you call a blowout. Georgia put a beatdown on TCU, kind of like this show tonight put a beatdown on me. And it's not going to get much easier for WWE because next week they're going to be up against an NFL playoff game. It's going to be Dallas taking on Tampa Bay. So what we got tonight, this show tonight had the feel of basically, fuck it, we're going to throw the towel in because we already know we're going to get shellacked. So here's a show. That was the vibe I got from this program tonight, and it's going to be much the same next week. And, you know, they didn't have a single match announced in advance of the show tonight on WWE.com, which probably should have been a bad sign. I was wondering, you know, I'm trying to put the preview together. How come they haven't announced anything? Now I can see why. What we got tonight here was a glorified house show. That's basically what we had. We had 3 hours of a glorified house show, although more talking than you would find in a house show. I don't know. Maybe the AEW shows last week spoiled me. I don't know. But we had a Raw Tag Team Title Gauntlet. And notice I said Raw Tag Team Title, not just a Tag Team Title Gauntlet. We had a gauntlet match tonight to close out the final hour of the show to crown new number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Titles. And we had the Judgment Day. It was started out as Finn Balor and Damian Priest. And then Finn Balor suffered an injury during the match, and so he was replaced by Gangsta Dominic Mysterio, fresh out of the pokey. He replaced Balor, and in the end, the Judgment Day win the gauntlet. They beat the Street Profits to close out the match and become the number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team titles. They win the opportunity to challenge another heel team to wrestle for the championships on a night where we got two different finishes on the same show with a heel using the ropes for leverage. We got it in the main event. And we got it on another match earlier in the night when Bayley picked up a win. But I guess the bigger story here would be to look at what they're doing with the tag team titles and the possibility that they could be splitting off the Raw and tag team titles from one another. It looks like they may be doing that. It is very possible that they could be splitting apart the tag team titles. My impression when this show is over is that we're going to probably have new tag team champions in the Judgment Day. And they could be moving on to do something for the titles of WrestleMania with Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny. Because there's been a lot of talk about Bad Bunny being involved in WrestleMania in some way. You knew they were going to come back to Rey and Dominic at some point, right? You know that you're heading back to something with Rey and Dom. So it looks like we might be getting the title split off. It might finally be happening. But Dominic Mysterio also tonight shared with us his harrowing tale of his time behind bars. And it is a real indictment of our criminal justice system that this young man was forced to endure the type of stuff and go through the type of stuff that he had to. Dominic, I'll say one good thing about this. Dominic is seriously my favorite thing on Monday nights. I don't know how that happened. I think it was just a gradual thing over time. Him joining the Judgment Day is the best thing that ever happened to him. It's the best thing that ever happened to the Judgment Day. Fits like a glove. He has seriously become the thing that I look forward to the most on this show. And I don't know if it's so much, oh, he's so great, or if it's just an indictment of how bad the show has been. But if you ask me, what's the one thing I look forward to most on Monday nights? On Fridays, it's Sami Zayn. On Mondays, it's Dominic Mysterio. This is where we are right now with WWE. Those are my favorite parts of the shows. We had new names announced for the Royal Rumble, mainly the men's Royal Rumble match. Seth Rollins is in the Rumble. Austin Theory is in the Rumble. Bobby Lashley is back. He is back from his suspension, and we found out the reason why Bobby Lashley is back from his suspension, and it has to do with MVP going to Adam Pearce. Now we know what MVP was talking to Adam Pearce about last week when we spotted him in the back. He went to Adam Pearce and he got Bobby Lashley reinstated back on TV for the first time in 4 weeks. And so even though it hasn't officially happened yet, we now know that the Hurt Business reunion is on the way. Bobby reconciled with him. He said, you and I are cool, but he wasn't ready to do anything more than that. But obviously, we are heading towards a Hurt Business reunion. Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander were in the tag team gauntlet. They didn't fare too well. But those really were the highlights of the show tonight. Oh, and we got an Uncle Howdy appearance, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. If you've seen any of the other Uncle Howdy appearances on SmackDown over the past several weeks, you didn't miss anything. Because it was more of the same. This is your Monday Night Raw review here for January 9th, 2023. I am the Solemn Monster. Subscribe, drop a super chat. I'll be reading them a little bit later on here during the stream, and like this video. If we could hit 350 likes, we will be the booker a little bit later on tonight. I'm trying to wake myself up here from this 3 hours of just mediocrity that we sat through tonight. You can pick and choose certain parts of the show that you like. And the ending of the gauntlet, it picked up there at the end a little bit. It was some good energy from the Street Profits. It got good there at the end, but my fucking God. What has happened? Things were picking up. There was a certain energy that this show didn't have for so long. Back in August when Triple H first took over, it was the beginning of August. Here we are at the beginning of January, and we're right back to where we were. I don't understand. Show opened with Kevin Patrick telling us on commentary that there has never been a better time to be a fan of WWE. Yes, that was Kevin Patrick's opening line here on Monday Night Raw. There has never been a better time to be a fan of WWE. And I wrote in my notes here, was Vince back on headset? Maybe, right? We know he's back. He's not back as in behind the scenes. He's not back in the chair, but I don't know. Maybe he was. I was waiting. I thought that the line was about to come, putting smiles on people's faces. I thought we were about 5 seconds away from that. Then we got another Kevin Owens. He came to the ring to kick things off tonight with a promo. He started talking about his match with Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble for the Undisputed Championship when he was interrupted by JBL's theme music. Oh, joy. So out comes JBL to interrupt Kevin Owens. He insults the people of Alabama, which is where they were tonight. They were in Birmingham, Alabama. He insults the people of Alabama, or as he called it, Redneckville. He said nobody believes that he could beat Roman Reigns, and he introduced the last man to ever pin Roman Reigns, which is true. He is indeed the last man to ever hand Roman Reigns a pinfall loss in WWE. It was back in 2019. He introduces us to Baron Corbin. You know that you're off to a great start. It's going to be a really exciting night of wrestling action when we kick things off with Baron Corbin at the beginning of the television program. Corbin comes out. He says that Roman Reigns, he uses a sports analogy. He says that Roman Reigns is Georgia. And he says Kevin Owens is Alabama. For all you college football fans. And as Corbin continued to talk about winning the Royal Rumble, and he's going to go on to WrestleMania, he's going to challenge for the Undisputed Championship. I'll put it back up on the screen here. This was all of us. This was certainly me. I won't speak for all of you, but this was certainly me and Kevin Owens. Me and Kevin Owens, this is what you call a mood. This was a Monday Night Raw mood tonight. He rested his head on the top turnbuckle, and he fell asleep. And JBL was trying to get his attention, and he asked Owens if he was in a food coma. Corbin said that if Owens wanted to take a nap, he would be happy to go in the ring and put him to sleep. And Owens said that he was in the type of coma where JBL and Corbin spoke for 3 minutes and said absolutely nothing of interest. And he said, look, you know, I'm dressed for a fight. Because I assumed the bloodline was going to show up tonight. So I came here tonight dressed for a fight. Says, you two blowhards, you guys will do just fine. Owens said that Corbin could charge the ring and take a stunner, or they could have an actual match and he could take a stunner that way. And that led to Kevin Owens against Baron Corbin. That was our opening contest here tonight on Raw. Owens hit a swanton bomb for a near fall, and then he ran into a big boot. Corbin did his slide to the outside, rush back into the ring spot, and hit a DDT for a near fall. Corbin performed deep six. He was shocked, though, that he didn't get the pin, even though he never, ever wins with the deep six. He was shocked by this. He couldn't believe it. Owens got a stunner. He pinned Corbin to put us all out of our misery. After the match was over, Owens went to the floor because he could see Jey Uso coming through the crowd, and he and Jey Uso started to brawl until Jimmy attacked Owens from behind. Solo Sikoa showed up. It was 3-on-1. There was no Roman Reigns tonight. There was no Sami Zayn. Although Sami will wrestle Kevin Owens on SmackDown this Friday. Owens was able to grab a steel chair. He fought all three of them off. At least the live crowd loved Owens. They were big into Kevin Owens. That's the best I could say about any of this. After the break, the Bloodline, they were in the back leaving the building when Adam Pearce confronted them and he asked them where they thought they were going, and they said, well, we're leaving. We showed up. We came here tonight to deliver a message from the tribal chief, and now we're leaving. And Pearce said, yeah, you are leaving, but there's going to be a tag team turmoil match later on tonight. And the winners of that tag team turmoil match will become number one contenders for the Raw tag team titles. And that caught my attention right away because he specifically mentioned the Raw tag team titles. Since Roman Reigns unified the titles, and since the Usos unified the tag team titles, I don't believe with the Usos, we have had an individual Raw tag team title match or SmackDown tag team title match. It's pretty much just been undisputed. So this would be the first sign of a potential split of the titles, which, again, I'm of the belief here, seeing what they did tonight, that they probably are going to change the titles, just because why all of a sudden? Why all of a sudden would it be for the Raw tag team titles instead of the Undisputed tag team titles, unless there was a reason for it? So that's going to be something to keep an eye out for, but I noticed that right away. As soon as he said Raw tag team titles and then it was in the graphic, it was like, oh, okay. Maybe they are looking to split these things up. So they went to go leave. Pierce stopped Solo Sikoa and said, you guys are leaving, but Solo is staying. And he said that Solo was going to be staying. And they protested. They said, yeah, but Kevin Owens is still around. And Pierce said, don't worry about Kevin Owens. He's not, you know, I told him he has to leave also. But he said Solo would have to stay back and wrestle Dolph Ziggler later on tonight on this show. And the idea, just the idea, that Solo's punishment was going to be Dolph Ziggler. This was his this was Adam Pearce's punishment for Solo Sikoa and the Bloodline. I'm going to hold you back, and I'm going to put you in a match with Dolph Ziggler. Hilarious. The most hilarious thing that I have heard all year. They have totally neutered Adam Pearce, by the way, because not only do the Usos continue to show up every single week, despite every single time Adam Pearce says, you don't belong here, you better not show up again, they show up anyway. Not only do they continue to show up, but the Usos came back out two more times on this show. They came out to celebrate with Solo Sikoa after his win. And they came out at the end of the show to confront the Judgment Day and show off their tag team titles. So these guys did not give a fuck about anything that Adam Pearce told them. And now Adam Pearce is giving Dolph Ziggler to Solo Sikoa as his punishment. This man has been completely neutered. You know what WWE needs? WWE needs a new commissioner. That is what this company needs. So they recap the Raw Women's Championship match from last week. If you remember last week's show, it was Bianca Belair defending her title against Alexa Bliss. They showed us highlights of what happened last week, and Alexa Bliss snapped, and she got herself disqualified. And then she laid out Bianca Belair when the match was over. Come back live, Kevin Patrick said that Bianca was left with multiple stitches. She had stitches, I think, right above her chin as a result of that attack. And all of a sudden, as he's speaking, live at the announce desk at ringside, we see Alexa Bliss come walking into camera frame, and she steps up on top of the announce desk with a microphone in her hand. She said that Bianca is afraid of her because she is the face of evil. I know when I look at Alexa Bliss, all I could think to myself is, this is the face of evil. She calls herself the face of evil. And she doesn't feel bad for what she did because she said that she hasn't felt this good in a very long time because she is finally taking control, and she says that she is the one in charge. She said that she has the whole world in her hands and she is not afraid to tear more scars into Bianca's face and take the Raw Women's Championship away from her. And all of a sudden, we get another Uncle Howdy video. We don't get any of these videos typically on Raw. They usually only happen on SmackDown. So this might be the first Uncle Howdy video like this that we've had here on the... I mean, we've had glitches and stuff like that. We got a full-on Uncle Howdy video here. First, though, it shows us clips. You know, it's got spooky music in the background. And they're showing us clips of a playground somewhere in a park somewhere, outdoors. They're showing us a playground. It's not Alexa's playground, if you remember the pandemic era shows, but it's a playground somewhere. And then we see the guy with the mask, right? We see it's Uncle Howdy, not only with the Bray Wyatt mask that he wore the night he came back, but we do eventually get a shot of Uncle Howdy in the big latex mask. And we hear him saying, you know, you feel like you're in charge? Do you feel like you're in charge? Right? We got the whole voiceover. So then we hear Uncle Howdy's entrance music, and the arena begins to smoke, right? We see all the smoke, and out comes Uncle Howdy. He walks out onto the stage. We see Alexa Bliss. They cut back to her still standing on top of the announce desk. She's staring and watching at what's happening, and she has a very kind of angry expression on her face, the face of evil, right? And so all of a sudden, they cut to commercial. That's it. That was the end of the segment. They cut to commercial. So we get another cliffhanger ending to one of these Uncle Howdy segments. How many times are we going to get a cliffhanger ending to one of these segments before they actually give us something new? Before they actually kind of move things along in a way that can, you know, hold my interest here. I will tell you, I'm bored with this already. This is fucking boring. I'm just waiting for something to happen. Now, PW Insider had a report earlier today that Bo Dallas was spotted backstage on Monday Night Raw tonight. So I think that pretty much gives away who's under the Uncle Howdy mask. We didn't actually see him on TV, although it may have been him under the mask. So yes, Bo Dallas was backstage at Raw tonight. All I can say is that we better get some kind of reveal here by the Royal Rumble. They're going to do that pitch black match at the Royal Rumble. It's going to be Bray Wyatt against LA Knight. We better get something at the Rumble. I'm tired of all these teases and all these cutaways. It's just, I'm done with it. Like, I'm tired of it already. October, November, December, January. Okay, how many more months of this are we going to have? As far as Alexa goes, I'll say this, at least Alexa finally has something to do. You know, the Alexa Bliss that we saw tonight when she stood up on top of the announce desk and she started cutting that heel promo, and I had people trying to tell me last week, it's not a heel turn. We even had somebody in the chat, I think, it's not a heel turn. She's a fucking heel. It seemed pretty clear to me based on what happened last week. She attacked the referee. She attacked the babyface champion and bloodied her up. Yeah, she's a fucking heel. And watching her on top of the announce desk cutting that promo tonight, this was the closest thing to the Alexa Bliss of old that we have seen since she came back. Since she came back, it's almost like there's no life in her eyes. She's just sort of there. She had the new music. She was a baby face. She was just smiling. But there was nothing there. There was no real personality. There was no character development really of any kind. This was the first time since she came back that Alexa Bliss felt like and looked like Alexa Bliss. So at least she finally feels like now she's got something going on, which has not been the case now for many months since she came back. So when they came back from the break, it was on to the next. Again, there was no Uncle Howdy, there was no Alexa. That was the end of that. It was on to the next segment with Damage Control, making their way to the ring for a match between Bayley and Mia Yim. And before the match started, Bayley got on the mic and delivered a message to Becky Lynch, who was not on the show tonight. And she said, Becky is not here tonight. She told her to watch what she does to her friend, Meechin, because again, she's not Mia Yim anymore. Now she's Meechin. You know, when we saw Bianca Belair on TV last week and she was bleeding from the mouth, she had to get stitches, and they were like, what's wrong? Where's the pain coming from? She said, Meechin. Anyway, I'm sorry. I have to entertain myself tonight in some way. Don't blame me. This is what happens when we get a boring fucking show. I have to crack dad jokes, okay? Leave me alone. So she said that she wanted Becky, wherever she was, to watch what she does to Meechin tonight. And then she went and she gave Dakota Kai and Io Sky the night off. She said, you guys can leave. I don't need you. I'm going to give you guys the night off. Which I thought was setting up for something where Becky Lynch would show up and she would attack them in the back. Never happened. I guess Bayley just decided to give her two friends the night off. So Bayley suplexed the Meechin from the apron to the floor at one point. And for the finish of this match here, 8 minutes in, 8 minutes of this, 8 minutes into this match where absolutely nothing happened. Bayley caught Meechin in a backslide, put her feet on the bottom rope for leverage, and got the pin. So very lame finish. And not the only time tonight that we would see this finish to a match. But very lame. No heat for this. You know, they sacrificed Mia Yim because right now it's Bayley and Becky. That's the story. That's the program right now. And they wanted to give Bayley a win and, you know, keep her rolling along for the eventual rematch with Becky Lynch. Corey Graves had an interesting line, though, after the match was over, when he said, another rough night for Meechin and the OC, which is an ominous line. Not untrue, but I think a very ominous line here for the OC, which, I mean, the OC is dead. The OC is dead. Let's just get that out in the open right now. The OC is dead. Okay? It died the moment that AJ Styles went down with his broken ankle. And he's going to be gone for a few months. But yes, we've seen Meechin losing. Later on in the show, we had Anderson and Gallows. They were in the opening match in the Gauntlet, and they lost in the opening match of the Gauntlet. So yes, the OC is dead. Corey Graves all but said as much here on commentary. Kevin Patrick then randomly announced that Johnny Gargano was out with a grade 2 AC sprain, which is in the shoulder. And then it made sense why they mentioned it there, because we went to Kathy Kelly in the back, who was about to interview Gargano's wife. They call her the Poison Pixie, Candice LeRae. She said that Johnny is really bummed that he couldn't take part in Tag Team Turmoil tonight, but the doctors want him to get back to 100% first. She started talking about winning the Royal Rumble when she was interrupted by Rhea Ripley. And Rhea mocked her chances of winning the Rumble. Candice said that she had just as good of a chance of winning the Royal Rumble as Rhea Ripley does. Yeah. I think the doctors should have sent Candice home with concussion symptoms to be with her husband after saying what she said here in this promo. So Candice issued a challenge to Rhea for a match. She accepted, so that match was made for later on in the show. Gargano did put a tweet up about his injury, though, during the show tonight. This is what Johnny Gargano had to say. I injured my shoulder at a live event in Toronto, and the medical team is going to protect me from myself for a bit. But you better believe I'm going to do everything I can to get back in that ring so I can be that guy that you all know I can be. Just let me in that rumble. So I don't know what the normal length of time is for a grade 2 sprain in the AC joint. I would be lying if I said that I knew, but it sounds like there's a possibility he could be back in time for the rumble. But, you know, again, they've been bitten by the injury bug a bit recently. AJ, now Gargano, so hopefully he can get back soon. We still have yet to see the Johnny Gargano that I love from NXT, has yet to make an appearance here on the main WWE roster. And there are a lot of people who just don't like him, or they didn't follow NXT and they see him, oh, it's a small guy, you know, or, you know, he's boring. And he's been doing mostly comedy since we saw him debut on the main roster. It's mostly been comedy shit with him and Miz and Dexter Lumis. But the Johnny Gargano that went in there and had the kind of matches in NXT that he had with Andrade, and had the kind of matches that he had with Tommaso Ciampa, and had the kind of matches that he had with Adam Cole, we have yet to see that man on the main roster. He has yet to have a program or a real feud with anybody for him to really showcase what he can do. We saw Johnny as a heel in NXT with The Way, and you know that was entertaining. But the Johnny Gargano that I loved from NXT was underdog babyface Johnny Gargano, one of the best babyfaces in the history of that NXT brand. We have yet to see that. We have yet to see, you know, possible DIY reunion. Again, Champ is also hurt. They've been bitten by the injury bug. Eventually, hopefully, those two will be reunited as a tag team, because I think they would be a huge shot in the arm for the tag team division. But until they get healthy, we're not going to see any of that. But again, to the people who you know, aren't giving Gargano a chance, I can't blame you, because the booking has largely been shit for him so far. But we have yet to see the Johnny Gargano that I loved from NXT. He has not yet appeared on this television program. So after a break, we had the United States champion, Austin Theory, out to the ring for a promo. He began his promo by saying, "The champ is here," exactly the same way that John Cena says it. He says, "All of us have to accept the truth, which is that the now is forever." You wondered where Seth Rollins was. He thought that he was going to outclass him and outshine him. And the crowd started to give him the what treatment. They chanted, "We want Rollins." And they got what they wanted. We didn't get Becky Lynch on the show tonight, but we got Seth Rollins. His music played. He came out to interrupt. He walked out on crutches. With these oversized shades on his face. He was selling the reports of a knee injury from his match last week. A lot of people bought into that as if it were a real injury. I don't know. I guess he just did a really good job of selling it, because I never, you know, bought into the idea that it was real. We would have heard about that real quick if it was. But apparently people thought he had a real injury. It was just selling based on what they did at the end of the show last week. But he started to walk normally. He started to do a machine gun motion with one of his crutches to show us that he wasn't hurt, or at least he wasn't as injured as people thought he was. So the crowd sang his song. Theory said that Seth called himself the Mountaintop. And if that's the case, then he's the pinnacle of this entire industry. But he said, you know what? You are one of the best. He gave Rollins was in the ring at this point. He gave Rollins his just due. He said, you know what? You are one of the best, but me? He says, I've surpassed your ass. And I'm on to bigger and better things, like when I win the 2023 Royal Rumble. He said, but wait, there's more. He says, after he wins the Royal Rumble match, he's going to go on to headline WrestleMania and not only walk out with the United States Championship, but he's going to walk out the new Undisputed Champion. And Rollins asked Theory if he was done speaking. He said, the truth is, his knee is not 100%. But his knee will be 100% just in time for him to win the Royal Rumble, and everybody cheered. And he said, truth be told, he just came out here to hear the fine folks of Birmingham sing his song. And he told Theory, I'll see you at the Rumble. And he paused, and he said, kid. He kind of threw his crutch at him, and he left the ring. As Rollins left the ring to make his way to the back, we heard the music of one Bobby Lashley, who we have not seen on this television show in 4 weeks since he attacked a WWE official and he was suspended. Actually, he was fired. If you remember, he got fired on TV by Adam Pearce. And the very next day, Adam Pearce posted a video on social media basically unfiring him and saying that he overreacted and he was only suspended. So this was the first time we've seen Lashley in about a month. And he was dressed to wrestle. I mean, he didn't wrestle on the show, but he was dressed in his gear. He walked right past Rollins. He entered the ring. Theory swung at him with the crutch that Rollins had thrown at him. Lashley ducked. He came off the ropes. He gave him a spear. Then he threw him out over the top rope to show him, I guess, what he's going to do to him at the Royal Rumble. So the people love Lashley. And I mentioned on the podcast yesterday that there was a report from PW Insider that internally the belief is that the pitch has been made to turn Bobby Lashley heel as part of a Hurt Business reunion. And it's pretty clear they're going to reunite the Hurt Business. But to turn Lashley heel, that's not a move that I agree with. Lashley is still very over as a babyface, as an ass-kicking babyface with this crowd. I don't think that you have to turn him heel in order to reunite the Hurt Business. And I think people actually would like to see the Hurt Business back together enough that if you do that, I don't know that they'll boo those guys. So I'm hoping that part of the report is either wrong or they reconsider, because I don't think Lashley should be a heel right now. I think that would be a mistake. But I think reuniting the Hurt Business, I mean, they never should have been broken up to begin with. You know, by now they probably wouldn't be together anymore, but it was way premature when they broke those guys up. So to bring them back together, I don't know where Omos would fit into this equation, nor do I give a shit. But a Hurt Business reunion is exactly what they should be doing, and it's pretty clear that's the direction they're going in now. So Lashley got on the mic. He said that his suspension was over and that he can't wait to manhandle every superstar in the Royal Rumble. And so we got three more names here in this segment announced for the Rumble, right? We already had Kofi Kingston, who announced 5 weeks ago, he declared himself for the Royal Rumble match. Ricochet beat Top Rope Dalla on SmackDown Friday night to qualify. And now, based on this one segment, we have Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, and now Bobby Lashley, who have all officially announced for the Rumble. Ricochet is the only one who has had to qualify so far. Everybody else can just declare themselves, but not Ricochet. But at least we finally have some more names for the Rumble. We had Rhea Ripley taking on the Poison Pixie, Candice LeRae. Candice dove at Ripley on the floor. She did a little springboard something from the apron off the ropes. Rhea caught her and swung her around and flung her into the barricade. And then she locked her in her prism trap submission on the floor. She put Candice in the ring. She dropped her with her riptide finish and she pinned her. So a very simple match to give Rhea some shine here. Not unlike what they did earlier in the show with Bayley, except this match was half as long. And Rhea was more dominant than Bayley was in her match. So we go to the back. To the back we go. Byron Saxton was going to try to get a word with Bobby Lashley when MVP interrupted them. And he wanted a word with Bobby. So Byron left. The camera stayed. And he said that he and the Almighty have something to discuss. MVP revealed that he was the one who got Lashley's suspension lifted. He said that he was trying to get them back to doing what they do best. And he was able to convince Adam Pearce that Raw needed Lashley, and he even convinced Cedric and Shelton to realize the error of their ways and that they would have a chance to put a hurt on the bloodline depending on how they do in the tag team turmoil match later on in the show. So Lashley he stopped him. He said, look, you know, and at first he made comments to the effect of, I haven't forgotten what you did to me. But he appreciated the fact that MVP went to bat for him to get his suspension ended. And he said, you and I are cool. We're good. But he said, not right now. And so the two of them fist bumped. MVP told him to go handle your business as you see fit. But if you should ever decide to expand that business, he goes, you got my number. So there it is. MVP is trying to mend broken fences. The first step in the eventual reunion of the Hurt Business. We got the second part of the Cody Rhodes video package. We had part one last week, which was talking about his return to WWE last year and his debut at WrestleMania against Seth Rollins, all the way up until right before his Hell in a Cell match with Rollins, which is where things picked up here. So Cody said that, you know, he's been working since he was 20 years old and had never suffered a major injury before. He said that he thought he was bulletproof. Footage aired from his Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins. He said the only thing he remembers from that match, and they showed it, was during the match, there was a springboard that he did off the ropes into a Cody cutter. He said that's the only part of the match that he remembers, because when the impact of hitting the mat was such that he almost vomited in the ring, which would have made that match even more memorable. The match was memorable enough. Imagine Cody Rhodes fucking spraying the entire ring. But he said he almost vomited because he had cramped up in the collarbone that his pec was still attached to. So he said he has not watched the match back since then. Probably never will, although he appreciates that people speak fondly of it and it resonated with them. But he doesn't think that he can, because it's a little scary to think about how much he was willing to sacrifice that night by even getting into the ring. So they showed footage of Cody's surgery. The doctor said that he suffered a complete rupture of the pectoral muscle. We got a Brandi Rhodes appearance. She was interviewed as well. She was there the day that Cody had his surgery. We saw Brandi. And the surgeon said that things went better than planned because it was a muscle injury and not the tendon injury that they thought it was. Cody said that questions began creeping into his head about whether or not the surgery was successful. You know, when he woke up, was it a success? How long is this recovery going to take, right? He was filled with all these questions, and then they showed him arriving at his training facility. He said, now the work begins, and a graphic on screen said, to be continued. So, as I said last week when they aired part one of this series, this is going to be paying off with Cody, probably in the very last video they air, announcing himself as many others have done so far, announcing himself for the Royal Rumble match. The possibility of him, you know, being a surprise in the Rumble, the element of surprise was eliminated the minute they decided to begin airing these videos. They decided to go with basically the Triple H return from 2002. Remember, we heard U2 on television every week? It's a beautiful day. And they had the video package for him, and then he popped up on Raw from Madison Square Garden, one of the biggest reactions in company history, and he announced himself for the Royal Rumble match. You know, the minute you start doing that and putting these videos out, the element of surprise is gone, because people are just going to assume he's going to be there anyway. So I think it's building another couple of videos, and then it'll end with him announcing himself for the Royal Rumble. It's pretty clear that he will be in that match. To the back, we had Kathy Kelly interviewing Dolph Ziggler. This was Solo Sikoa's punishment tonight. And he said that the bloodline went too far when they attacked him recently. I completely forgot that they even kicked his ass. I guess they did that a few weeks ago, right? I guess they did that. They kicked his ass. Remember when they were beating people up in the parking lot area in the back? So he said the bloodline went too far when they attacked him. Mustafa Ali showed up and he said that, hey, what's the deal, dude? I just spoke to Adam Pearce, who said that you and I were going to be part of the tag team turmoil match tonight in the gauntlet match. But now I hear that you're having this match with Solo Sikoa and we're out of the gauntlet. What's the deal? And Dolph said that, look, said, this isn't about the titles. This isn't about you. Said, this is about me tonight. Basically being very selfish. And Ziggler told him it wasn't personal, but again, he had an issue that had to be dealt with here. He goes, I hope you understand that. And he walked off. And Ali had this very frustrated look on his face. The look that he has had on his face, I would say, for the majority of his WWE run. We got a Bronson Reed video package, which was nice. And then we went to the back. Byron Saxton introduced us to, I almost said Byron Saxton. Byron Saxton introduced us to himself. Now, he introduced us to Bronson Reed, who was standing there in a leather jacket, and he asked him why he decided to help The Miz when he debuted on Raw all those many weeks ago, helped The Miz win that ladder match against Dexter Lumis. Before Reed could even speak, The Miz showed up, and he said that they have each other's backs, and Bronson Reed saw that he was being outnumbered, and so he came to his rescue on that show. Miz put his hand on Reed's shoulder, and Reed just shot him this death glare. And Miz removed his hand promptly from his shoulder. Miz said that if you mess with him, then you mess with us. And he invited Bronson to join him for the Miz TV segment with the Judgment Day coming up later on in the show. Reed then said to the Miz, there was no us. And he says that if you want something from me, you need to pay me. And he walked off. And I like that. I like that they established that Bronson Reed is not Miz's lackey. He's not his partner. He's not his friend. He's not his lackey. He's a hired gun. If you want something from him, you've got to pony up. He's not buddy-buddy with the Miz. The Miz had the money. He took the money. He did what he had to do. But he's not here to be the Miz's friend. And I like that. I'm glad that they established that. That he's a hired gun. And he's not just another in a long line of Miz lackeys here on this show. Although I do wonder why, we have not seen him in a match yet. Even just a squash match. You know, put Bronson Reed in the ring with, you know, a local competitor and just have him beat the fuck out of this guy. Right? What's going on here? Let's get him in the ring. So we had Solo Sikoa one-on-one with Dolph Ziggler. They had a competitive match, but this was a showcase for Sikoa. I mean, what else would this be, right? Dolph Ziggler has been in this company almost 20 years. We don't need a showcase for Dolph Ziggler. We are well aware of who Dolph Ziggler is and what he can do. This was meant to be a showcase for Solo Sikoa, who continues to be undefeated on the main roster since making his debut, or at least yet to be pinned. I can never remember that match he had with Drew McIntyre on SmackDown. If that ended in a no contest or a DQ, but he has yet to be pinned or made to submit. So Sikoa hoisted Ziggler up for a Samoan drop at one point, pointed to the camera. Ziggler, though, slipped away, hit a zigzag for a near fall. Moments later, Dolph went for the Famouser, but Sikoa stuffed it, caught him up in a powerbomb position on his shoulders, and then he threw Dolph off, and before Dolph could land on his feet, Solo caught him with the Samoan spike to the throat, and he pinned him to win the match. After the match was over, the Usos showed up, so Adam Pearce be damned. The Usos showed back up anyway to celebrate with Solo. Even Corey Graves on commentary mentioned that they were thumbing their nose at Adam Pearce. I'm saying Adam Pearce is not respected by this locker room. He is not respected by the bloodline. He is not respected by the locker room. They need some new blood in a position of authority here in this company. So this was, I mean, look, not exactly a thrilling edge-of-your-seat encounter here, but the right man went over, and I thought the ending looked cool. Not as cool as the ending to that Jade Cargill Sky Blue match at Battle of the Belts, which was kind of similar. She had her up in a powerbomb position and then spun her around, threw her off, caught her in the Jaded. I really liked that finish, but this was good too. We got highlights of, this is where things actually got entertaining. I said, Dominic is my favorite part of the show. If you would have told me 6 months ago that my favorite part of Monday Night Raw would be Dominic Mysterio, I would have said, what blunt object were you smashed over the head with? Like, I wouldn't have believed you. But here we are. We got highlights of Dominic and Rhea crashing the Mysterio family Christmas dinner with Dominic getting arrested. We all remember the Thanksgiving video. We all remember the Christmas video. I can't wait for the Valentine's video. So then they recap last week's promo with Dom telling us that prison changes a man. They show the Judgment Day in the back on their way to the ring for Miz TV. And Dominic, well, you see him there in the artwork here on your screen. Dominic was wearing a purple bandana that was covering his mouth and the whole bottom portion of his face. He was wearing shades. He had a button-down shirt with the top button only buttoned. He looked like Conan. He looked like Conan backstage on WCW Monday Nitro arriving with the NWO is what he looked like here. And it's actually appropriate. You know, he offered, this is according to Conan, did you know that Dominic offered him one of his kidneys. Conan is in need of another kidney transplant. He had one many, many years ago. And I don't know if it's the same kidney now or the other one, but apparently he needs another transplant. And on his show a few weeks ago, he said that Dominic and his sister, Aaliyah, both offered to donate one of their kidneys if there were a match, should he still need one if he can't find another donor. So I thought that was very cool. And, you know, it just shows you how close that family is with him, because really a lot of Rey Mysterio's success can be owed to Conan, who's been one of his best friends for many years. Conan is the one who really brought him into a lot of places and opened doors for him, especially, you know, in ECW, WCW. So obviously they're all very close, and the fact that they would be willing to do that, I think, speaks a lot to how much they think of him. Before we go on here, I do want to thank our sponsor for this week. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I spend a lot of time on my phone. The only time when it leaves my side, really, is when I shower. I use it to play music, browse my social media, check the weather, take pictures. And the scary part of that is that your phone carrier collects data on nearly everything that you do on your phone. Verizon has even admitted to as much. They claim they do it to better understand your interests. But really, they just want to sell your activity to advertisers. That's really what they want. Including the sites that you visit, so they can line their pockets. This is why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that prevents your phone carrier from being able to see the sites that you visit and sell that information to third parties. With the tap of a button, you can encrypt all of your network data and reroute that data through ExpressVPN's secure servers for ultimate privacy. Not only does it shield your web browsing, ExpressVPN protects all of your network data so you can stay private even when using your favorite apps. Whether you're an iPhone user, an Android user, a tablet user, ExpressVPN works on all of your devices. The best part is one subscription can be used on up to 5 devices at the same time, so they make it really convenient for you. When your phone carrier tracks you, that is a gross invasion of your privacy. You can either keep letting them cash in on you, or you can visit expressvpn.com/solomonster to get the same VPN that I use. Take back your online privacy today and use my link to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, expressvpn.com/solomonster. So after a break, Kathy Kelly was in the back with Damage Control. And Mia Yim showed up and said that all Bayley proved tonight was that she was a cheat. Bayley said that the difference between herself and Becky Lynch is that she's not afraid to ask for help. And she's also not above asking for help to kick someone's ass. And that was the cue for Dakota Kai and Io Sky to jump her. I mean, they were already there, but they attacked Mia. And then they held her up while Bayley was talking to her, and Bayley told Mia not to trust somebody who wouldn't be there for her. So Io gave her a kick to the side of the face, and they left Meechin laying on the floor. You know, when Adam Pearce showed up and he asked poor Mia, you know, she saw Mia, or he saw Mia laying on the floor and didn't know what happened. He said, "What happened here?" And supposedly, from what I understand, she told Adam Pearce that Io Sky, you know, kicked her in Meechin. I don't have that confirmed, but that's just something that one of my sources told me. So we had The Miz. He was out next for Miz TV. I hope I'm entertaining you. I know I'm entertaining myself. So really, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Actually, we're getting to probably the most entertaining part of the show. We had The Miz out for Miz TV. Miz said that tonight they were going to take a look at our justice system. He introduced the Judgment Day. Corey Graves said that Dominic was out on bail. Dominic, you know what Dominic reminded me of? As I was watching him come down to the ring. I don't know why I thought about this, because in the movie, they're not even really dressed like him per se. The first thing I thought of when I saw Dominic, you'll see how many of you get this reference. I thought of Los Locos. And do you remember the song? How many of you remember the Los Locos song? Los Locos kick your ass. Los Locos kick your face. Los Locos kick your balls into outer space. You remember what movie that was from? I thought of Los Locos. He looked like he was a member of Los Locos out there. So Dominic also had a teardrop tattoo sharpied on his face. This was perfect. Miz asked what it was like on the inside. And Dom said one thing he learned is that snitches get stitches. I've never been to jail. I learned that years ago. I thought everybody knew that. He said, imagine being locked up with the world's most dangerous people and not knowing when your next meal would be. And he says it's push or be pushed. He said that he thought if he was ever going to see mommy on the outside again, he didn't know if he'd ever see her again. And he said he was going to have to do what he needed to do. He said that he learned he was going to have to grab life by the balls, kind of like what Maurice does to The Miz. Dom said that he was in his cell one day. Told us a little story. And he was in his cell one day, top bunk, with his cellmate. He heard his cellmate say that he wanted to punch a hole in his face. So what did he do? He hopped down from the top bunk. He slapped him awake and he asked the guy, do we have a problem here? And that was the end of that. He says now he truly knows how Martha Stewart feels. So Miz says that his sources tell him that Dominic was only in county jail for a few hours. And the judgment, they all took exception to this and they stood up to confront Miz. And Miz said, well, maybe I was misinformed. Damian Priest said that Dominic was here to watch Finn and Priest win the tag team turmoil match tonight to challenge the Usos. We heard the OC's music. They interrupted. Out came Gallows and Anderson to kick off Tag Team Turmoil. This is our main event. It was 10.05 p.m. So you knew that they were going to go nearly the full hour here. Now, we have seen gauntlet matches on TV, right? We've seen gauntlet matches before on Raw. We've seen gauntlet matches before on SmackDown. I remember when Kofi Kingston had to do a gauntlet many years ago in the midst of Kofi Mania heading into WrestleMania 35. I remember an excellent gauntlet match that Seth Rollins was in on Raw a few years ago, where I think Seth went 45 minutes. That might have been the gauntlet where he beat John Cena, and who else did he beat? There was another big name, I think, that he beat in that gauntlet match. It might have been Roman Reigns, actually. It might have been Roman Reigns and John Cena. So you've had these gauntlets that go 45 to an hour that could be really, really good. It picked up at the end, but this was not one of those gauntlets. This was not one of those gauntlets that you're going to be thinking about and talking about 6 weeks from now, let alone 6 months or a year from now. So it opened here. Tag Team Turmoil for a shot at the Raw Tag Team titles with the OC here against the Judgment Day. The thing I loved about this match, though, it wasn't so much the match itself. It was Corey Graves. Corey Graves was having way too much fun on commentary with this Dominic stuff. And really, I mean, can you blame him? I mean, it's the best fucking thing on the show. So the first fall with the OC, I thought, very dull. Very dull. Crowd did not give a shit. Anderson tagged in. He set up for a double team move. Dominic tripped Anderson, though, when he ran the ropes. This is while the referee had been tending to Damian Priest. Finn Balor then rolled up Anderson for the three count. So bye-bye, OC. Like I said, the OC is dead. Out to the dustbin with them. Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, they were out next. Kevin Patrick said something stupid on commentary that pissed off Rhea Ripley. And so Rhea Ripley, who was out there cheerleading with Dominic, could hear what Kevin Patrick said. And she told him to shut his mouth. Dominic yelled that he did. He said, I did my time. He told Kevin Patrick, I did my time. Corey Graves told Patrick he better be careful or he might get shanked. They went right at Balor and Priest, did Benjamin and Cedric. They took it to them, took control of the match. Alexander hit Priest with a neuralizer kick for a two count. Priest hit the South of Heaven chokeslam, and then Finn Balor followed up with the coup de grace off the top rope, pinned Cedric Alexander to advance in the gauntlet match. That brought out Alpha Academy. They were out next. Chad Gable and Otis. It was a year ago tomorrow that they won the Raw Tag Team titles from RK-Bro. A little bit of trivia there for you. January 10th. Actually, it is already officially January 10th. So it was a year ago today that Gable and Otis won the Raw Tag Team titles. Graves said that Dominic is like James Dean with street cred. There were chants of, we want Otis. He eventually took a hot tag and gave Damian Priest and Balor a big splash in the corner. Otis looked to the crowd and he gave them what they wanted. He gave them the caterpillar. This was total babyface Otis here. He was being cheered like a babyface and he worked the match like a babyface. Although I don't think that it was a babyface turn, but in front of this crowd, they loved Otis. So Balor pulled Gable on top of him while Otis was setting up for a splash from the middle rope. So he grabbed Gable basically as a shield, to shield himself from the impact. Otis hit this big splash from the middle rope, and Balor, being on the bottom of the pile, got crushed. And he rolled out to the floor. Otis turned around into a kick from Priest, who followed up with a clothesline, pinned Otis. After the match, Balor is outside, and he is selling extreme rib pain. And now he's sitting on the ground, his back up against the announce desk. Everybody is crowding around him. Dominic, Rhea, Priest, Adam Pearce comes out with a bunch of officials to check on Balor. And they try to ascertain whether or not he could continue here in this gauntlet match. And Priest tried to pull Balor to his feet. Balor winced in pain. And the trainer told Adam Pearce that Balor was not able to continue. He was not going to be able to continue the match. Priest said that the Judgment Day could forfeit, or Pearce rather, said that they could forfeit, or they could substitute Dominic in place of Finn Balor. And of course, Priest said, forfeiting is not an option here. He said, fine, we'll replace Finn with Dom. And so Dominic started stretching his legs out as they went to another commercial break. Came back from break, the Street Profits. They were the final entrants here in the gauntlet, so it came down to the Street Profits and the Judgment Day here in this match. Eventually, the action spilled outside. Priest body-checked Montez Ford over the announce desk, but Angelo Dawkins was right there. He did a big flip dive out of the ring onto Priest and Dominic. That took us into one final commercial break. Dominic was looking when we came back to dial up the 619 on Angelo Dawkins, but when he hit the ropes, Dawkins cut him off with a leaping back elbow, made the tag, the hot tag to Montez Ford, who came in, and he had control over Dominic for a while. Priest tagged in, and he was a one-man wrecking crew here for about 30 seconds. Priest then, he deposited Angelo Dawkins over the barricade by the timekeeper's area. After he does that, Montez Ford is in the ring. Dominic is basically hanging in the corner. He's hanging over the top rope. And it looks like Montez is charging in to do some kind of move to Dominic, only instead, he jumps over Dominic, over the ring post, with a big flip dive out of the ring, and he takes out Damian Priest on the floor. Priest recovers, and he does, or he charges at Montez Ford, who does a big vertical leap in one jump up onto the ring apron, and Priest ran himself into the ring steps. That took him out of the picture. Montez Ford climbs up to the top rope, and he hits Dominic with a 450 splash, because Dominic is the legal man. So Ford hits a 450 splash. Priest pulls him out of the ring. There's so much stuff going on here. But it ends with Dominic reaching and grabbing Montez Ford and pulling him through the ropes back into the ring, and he stacks him. The referee does not see Rhea Ripley with the assist from the outside, and Dominic puts his feet on the ropes, and he pins Montez Ford to give the win to the Judgment Day. This was the second time on this show that we had the same exact heel finish with the heels using the ropes, which is just fucking lazy. But that's how the Judgment Day was able to win the gauntlet match. I will say that Balor stayed out there. He was sitting in one of the announce chairs. He didn't go to the back. He was kind of selling and grimacing in pain the entire time, really selling it. And when the match was over, he kind of tossed his ice pack aside in celebration before realizing that he was hurt. So I thought Balor was great in his role. So Damian Priest ends up going about 50 minutes, 5-0, almost an hour, but not quite, here in this gauntlet. And the Judgment Day are number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team titles. They are confronted by the Usos. And if I'm remembering correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, when the Usos came out for the third time on this show, when they were supposed to be barred from the building after their first time, they came back. They came back again at the end of the show to hold up their titles and to do that final pose, stare down in the aisle way with the Judgment Day. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they came out to their theme music. Now, let me ask you a question, just a very simple question. If Adam Pearce kicked the Usos out of the building and did not want the Usos in the building, why did they get entrance music when they came out at the very end of the show? Am I wrong? Did they not have their entrance music when they came out at the very end of the show? Maybe I'm misremembering because I was so checked out here by the time we got to the third hour. I just wanted this to be over with. But in any event, we had the face-off there at the end, and that is how mercifully, that's how the show went off the air to close things out. I thought the last part of the gauntlet was good. The Street Profits, I mean, they were showing off here like they had something to prove. And the fans were into it with them at the end there, but boy, this show, man, this show as a whole, just an absolute bore. I don't really know what else to say about it. I thought this show was an absolute bore. It is Royal Rumble season, and I can barely bring myself to get excited. Royal Rumble is one of my favorite shows of the entire year. Maybe my favorite. In fact, I will say that the Royal Rumble is my favorite show of the year. And I can just barely bring myself to care. They have to find a way to pick up the energy with these shows. There's just no reason why I should be watching AEW last week. And I know they were in new markets, they were in Seattle, they were in Portland, but there's no reason I should watch those AEW shows like I did last week. And those fans, man, they are just on fire all night long. And I know this is a 3-hour show, but Jesus Christ, I mean, it was like a fucking funeral for 80% of the show. But you look at the show they gave them tonight, I can't even blame the fans. In order to have the energy, in order for the fans to reciprocate, you have to give them something to actually get excited about, and that's just not happening right now, at least not on Monday Night Raw. And tonight, it just felt to me like they just gave the show away. Was it because of football? I mean, the game ended up being a blowout, but they didn't know that. I think they looked at it and said, well, we're going to get blown out here, so why put our best foot forward? Why not put your best foot forward? I don't give a shit about the football game. I wasn't watching the football game. I was watching this show. If I'm watching this show, I expect you to put your best foot forward. We may get more of the same next week because they have a big playoff game next week. I don't think I could take 2 weeks of this show back to back like this. So they gotta step up their game here. This is terrible. But Raw Tag Team titles. Are they splitting the titles off? We'll have to wait and see. It sure looks like that's the direction they're going in. And I will tell you, I am not in favor of that. I am not as in favor of doing that with the tag team titles as I am with Roman's titles, because this show, they need a champion. They cannot have an absentee champion the way that they have. But the tag team division as a whole, I don't think still is strong enough to necessitate two sets of tag team titles. So I would actually rather see the Usos keep those titles unified, to be perfectly honest with you, as opposed to Roman Reigns, because I just don't think the tag team division is worthy and strong enough right now of supporting two tag team titles. Or if they have enough teams on one show, they simply will not have enough on the other. So I'm not really a fan of that move, if that's what they're doing here. But as I said at the beginning of the stream, my first thought is if they're going to change the titles and you have Dominic and Priest as the champions, it could be setting up for a match against Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny. I'm telling you, there's a chance that we may end up with a tag team title match at WrestleMania with Bad Bunny, Rey Mysterio, taking on Dominic and Damian Priest. That may be the match for me. Maybe I'm looking too far ahead into the future. We'll have to see. They have to win the titles first. But that could be the direction that we're heading in. Hey, Toby Flanagan just gifted a channel membership, and the lucky recipient was Deputy Dog 313. So congrats to Deputy Dog. Thank you, Toby. Appreciate that. AJ said it would be Finn and Damian as the champions. It should not be Finn and Damian as the champions. It should be Dominic. Dominic's the one who won the match. He won the gauntlet. So now he gets Finn's spot. That's not fair. It should be Dominic, not Finn. So anyway, that was Raw. Not much else to say about that show. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get excited about the show, and it's not happening. Let's see if I'm alone in my thoughts. Well, there you go. Obviously, I don't stand here alone in my thinking of this show tonight. But we have got 27% thumbs up, 28% thumbs in the middle, and 45% of you have given this show a resounding thumbs down. This was a dud. This was not a good show. So you can go vote at Solomonster. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Feel free to tag WWE in it too when you do. Let them know how you feel. Whew. Brutal. So let's wash the sour taste out of our mouths by going through your super chats. Hey, Gabriella, thank you. Says that the Solomonster is more exciting than Raw. I mean, that's a very low bar that you've set there, but I appreciate that. Jackie Fowler, a Solomonster. How do I send you a mailbag question? TheSolomonster@gmail.com. You go to my Twitter page, it's also in my bio. If you ever forget the email address, it's right there in the bio. Just make sure you include your name and where you are from. Kareem says, this is week 16 of boring Raw shows. I don't know if it's week 16, but yes, it's unfortunately, Raw has fallen back into the rut that they were in before. I mean, there were certain changes that were made. Look, we're going to get a Hurt Business reunion, right? We would never get a Hurt Business reunion if Vince McMahon was writing the show. You can pick and choose little things that are going on the show right now that are positives. But week to week, sitting here and watching these 3 hours is no better than it was a year ago. It got better for a while. There was a certain vibe and energy to the show, and it is just totally gone now. It's just vanished. It's gone. Where did it go? WrestleMania season. It's supposed to be getting better, not worse. Shin Superkick Akuma. Holidays killed me, but slowly I'm coming back to show my support for the Solomonster. That's what I like to hear. Thank you, Shin. Jackie Fowler with the $12 super chat. By the way, I was watching one of WWE's best pay-per-views, The King of the Ring 1993. That's my favorite pay-per-view ever. But there's two changes I would make. Perfect against Martel instead of Hughes, and Brett against Savage instead of Bam Bam in the finals. It would have been nice to get a proper match with Brett and Savage. They've wrestled, but never on television, except when Brett was still part of the Hart Foundation. I mean, that's going back to like 87 on Saturday night's main event. I'm talking like early to mid 90s Brett and Savage. We never got that on TV. I would have preferred to see Brett and Perfect in the finals as opposed to the semifinals. That would have been the final match if it were up to me. But then we wouldn't have gotten the great Bam Bam Bigelow story from the finals of that tournament where Bam Bam... You remember how Brett won that match? When he beat Bam Bam in the finals, he won with a victory roll. And according to Bam Bam Bigelow, unfortunately for him, Brett farted in his face on that victory roll. And I think Brett... I think he said Brett was, like, really big at the time into the, like, protein shakes. So it was one of those, like, protein farts. Just, like, sat right on his face and just farted right in his face. And then he became king. Queen Fire Panda with the $10 super chat. After a week of me being burned out of life because of mental illness, keeps making a joke out of me. Being here with everybody is really comforting. Well, Fire Panda, you always have a home here on the stream. You know that. You're part of the family. Deep, delicious chicken and turkey with flavor. I don't care what anybody says about Kevin Patrick. He is not that bad on commentary. The man has personality. And I love his bantering with Corey Graves. He is not the right person for that position on Raw. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but no. No, it is not working out. Hulkling 93, Corbin's heat segment during the break. More of that, please. Deep Delicious says, Raw is not perfect, but I like wrestling being fun. Well, then this was not your show tonight, unless you're talking about the Dominic stuff, but I'm sorry, it's going to take more than just one person on a three-hour show to get a thumbs-up score out of me. Ultimate Elite can't believe what he just heard. Kevin Patrick, personality? Are you kidding? He might have a great personality, but it definitely, you know, you don't get to see it on this show. Troy King, longtime fan for 10 plus years. Love your work, Solo. Thank you, Troy. Thank you very much. Rodimus Prime with the $5 super chat. From Raw being trashed, TCU getting stomped by Georgia. It was a boring night of TV. Just painful. Boots with the $2 says, Alexa did not punt Corey's head into 2025. Lame. Is that something that she said she was going to do? Did she promise to do that? I don't know where that's coming from. Justin Logue, Raw Wizard needs entertainment badly. Raw Wizard? What is that? Anti-M Bishop 07 says, well, the NCAA football title game ended 65-7. Even mediocre as it was, Raw won tonight. Plus, PWG Bola was epic, I heard. All the best. Chris Jericho showed up at Bola with the entire Jericho Appreciation Society, and they had a match. Based Beerus, God of Seduction. Solo Ziggler with the hot pink. Just need the hair. I thought you were talking about me there for a second. Angel Silva with the $4.99. I know you always say Ford and Bianca will be a money power couple. I disagree. I think the real money is Rhea and Dom as a champion power couple. Well, then maybe Rhea and Dom should be going after the tag team titles instead. Sean Turner, TCU bros, can't catch a break just like Triple H. Brumakian Productions, Vince McMahon is literally Joseph Stalin. Well, I don't think you know what the word literally means, but thank you, Brumakian. God of Seduction, additional members of the Hurt Business, Montez Ford. Not necessary. If MVP is still managing Omos, I think he would be the muscle. It would be Omos. Otherwise, they don't need new members. Also, how many wrestlers has Miz been affiliated with? Many. Many. John Morrison. Alex Riley. Dexter, I guess you'd say Dexter Lumis, right? Bronson Reed. Damian Sandow. Tommaso Ciampa. I don't know if you want to throw Maurice in there, but there was somebody else. Who am I missing? Who am I missing? I said Morrison already, but there was, I thought there was somebody else. So yeah, at least five. Dan Teller, you transcend wrestling for your fans like myself. You give me a friend to hang out with at the end of each show. Well, I'm very happy that you feel that way, Dan. We're all friends here, even when we disagree. Aussie of Steel, Meechin against James Ellsworth. There you go. You want to do a chin on a pole? Sean Turner, Angry Solo Monster is the most entertaining. This was angry, tired Solo Monster after 3 hours of Raw. This show just beats you down, man. It really does. When you get a bad Raw, there's nothing worse than a bad, boring Monday Night Raw. A boring Monday Night Raw is the absolute gutter worst. It just wears you down. Jared Jackson, one undisputed world title, one women's world title. Merge the rest except US and IC. No part-time champions and push Bayley. She will have a great babyface run. King Bling Blah. Does revealing Uncle Howdy kill the mystique of him? I mean, it kills the mystery, but, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You're just going to not reveal it then? You want to do another 6 months of this? Do you really want to sit through another 6 months of this? Where Uncle Howdy comes out, and he does this, and, you know, he tips his cap, and then they cut to a fucking Burger King commercial. I mean, how many more months of this do you want to sit? It's a cool entrance. He's got cool music. The mystique is already wearing off for me. Louis, your Meechin zingers were far more entertaining than this 3-hour snooze fest. I try. Slim Yoshi, $5 Super Chat. Who do you think should be the two people to start their respective Rumble matches? I personally feel that it's important as the rest of the match. I think Cody and Seth should open. I've said that before. I think Cody and Seth opening the Rumble would make sense. As far as the Women's Rumble, I don't even really think it matters, honestly. I think Rhea is going to win the Rumble. But if you're going to have Cody, let's say, as one of the first two in the men's match, you don't want to do the same thing in the women's match. So on the women's side, I don't think it matters. You know, Rhea could enter later on in the match. I think that's fine. And there's really no women's feud right now that I could... I guess you could do Becky and Bayley, but to me, that's so predictable. Cody and Seth opening the Rumble would be predictable. You can't do that and do Becky and Bayley opening the women's Rumble. So if I had to pick one, it would be Cody and Seth opening the men's Rumble. I think that would be the way to go. Juan Ocampo. Buy or sell King of My World or Rey Buyaka version 2.0 in 2006. I don't remember there being another version of his Buyaka song. I don't like King of My World though, so I'll go with the Rey Mysterio song. I'm not really a fan of the King of My World song. I was never into it. A father and son have never started a Rumble, so starting with Rey and Dominic? Yeah. The thing about that, though, is Rey has said he will never fight his son. Now, obviously, before WrestleMania, he'll come around and he'll wrestle Dominic. Do you give it away at the Rumble, then? I wouldn't do that. I think you can have them both in the Rumble at the same time and have Dominic avoiding him. They never really lock up. Maybe do like a tease spot. But Rey has said, I will not fight my son. So I wouldn't just give that away like that in a Rumble. Jeremy Thunderstrikes with the $2. Streams are always fun. Raw is bore. Well, at least you know when you have a boring Raw, you have the stream to look forward to. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Alexa is the goddess of professional wrestling. That was her gimmick, yes. And Deep Delicious says, F it, make WWE Raw 2.5 hours. I don't think that they have the power to just go poof. And if they did, it would be two. 2.5. Two and a half is no better than three. If you're going to make Raw shorter, you chop an entire hour off the show. That way it forces them into a tighter show because they have less time to work with, less bullshit. 2.5. I mean, what's the difference there? You either do 2 hours or you don't do any change at all. Got to go down to 2 hours. Brian Findlay, who is the woman saying Solo Monster sounds off in the opening sequence of the podcast? I don't remember her name offhand, but she is a very lovely lady who can be found on the interwebs. That's all I'll say about that. Cut it to 90 minutes. I'll do you one better. Cut it to an hour. They say Rampage is the fastest hour in wrestling. So let's see Monday Night Raw pull off a 60-minute show. Oh, boy. Well, we got to 400 likes. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. It does help out the video when you hit that like button. It tries to worm us into the algorithm so we could be recommended to other people. So even when we're done here, you forget or whatever, you can hit the like button after the fact. A lot of these videos end up doing close to 1,000 or over 1,000 likes at the end of the day. But yeah, the more the merrier. So thank you for that. And let's do the deal. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Who is that Bailey fan? You'd be very happy with the image that we are using here tonight for Be the Booker. There she is. Bailey is celebrating 10 years in WWE this month. 10 years for Bailey. Where does time go? Let's kick things off with men's Be the Booker. I love this notion that I'm seeing. Who is that? I didn't even see who that was in the chat. That it was an A-plus segment on Raw. There was no A-plus segment on the show at all. I don't know what the hell you were watching. We begin here with Broken Matt Hardy. I think we landed on him a few weeks ago, didn't we? Broken Matt Hardy is back. Yes. All right, let's see. Broken Matt. Stepping back into the ring. He'll be taking on, I'm sure Broken Matt's biggest fan, Jim Cornette. What do you think Jim Cornette thinks of Broken Matt Hardy and the Broken Universe? I'm sure that was just his favorite thing in all of wrestling. I'm sure. That's right up Cornette's alley, huh? All right, let's take it to the ladies. Kick things off here with the undefeated AEW TBS champion, Jade Cargill, who is 48-0 at this moment. Jade Cargill, I'll say this much. This woman is money. You want to go by just looks and appearance? This woman is money. Once the bell rings, that's a different story. Although she's made improvements. Let's see who Jade is going to be. Hey, you know what? Her undefeated streak is on the line here. Let's see. Jade Cargill going to put her title and her streak on the line against Maryse. Oh my. Jade and Maryse. Go to the tag teams. We got to break the tie. always comes down to the tag teams. We begin with everybody's favorite. The Young Bucks, former AEW tag team champions, former trios champions. They may be trios champions again in less than 48 hours. Matt and Nick Jackson. I know everybody in this chat is a big Young Bucks fan. Young Bucks going to be taking on the Hardy Boys. There's a dream match for some. If everybody was back in their prime and sober and not behind bars. The Hardy Boys and the Young Bucks. You can't give that anything but the bell. So there you go. We went 2 for 3. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. For Be the Booker. We've done worse in the past. There you go. The Hardys and the Young Bucks. And King Bling Blah says, bring back Raw Roulette. And old school Raw. I loved old school Raw. It's been a long time since we've had a proper old school Raw with the red, white, and blue ring ropes. I'd be in favor of bringing that back. Keyshawn Johnson has been a sound-off superstar for 1 month. Thank you, Keyshawn. He says, buy, sell, or rent on dream matches against Styles, Mr. Perfect, Shawn Michaels, or Bret Hart. Dream match? You mean for me? Dream match? Well, what's the match? Buy, sell, or rent on dream matches against Styles, Perfect, Shawn Michaels, or Bret Hart? I don't know if you're talking about me in the ring. I mean, I wouldn't consider that a dream match. I mean, my dream match, if I had the choice, I'd go Bret, Shawn, Perfect, and Styles, probably in that order. I'm a little confused on what you meant. And Juan Ocampo loved the corny review for the Oliver Ostrich match. I have no idea what you're talking about. Was that a PWG match I'm unaware of? Oliver and Ostrich? Throw Kurt Angle in the mix, says Beowulf. Yeah, Kurt's a machine. Let Kurt do all the work. I think Kurt would be able to bring me to my best match. Look, you're going to get in the ring with Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Hennig, or AJ Styles. You're going to be in good hands. It would be impossible for you to have anything but at least a good match. Omega and Ospreay. I see. Oh, that says Olivia. I thought that said Oliver. I said, who the fuck is Oliver? Omega and Ospreay. Well, Omega was in it, so I assume he must have hated it. Keyshawn Johnson with the $4.99. AJ against Shawn. AJ against Perfect. AJ against Hart. I see. Well, I would go Bret. Bret in the ring with all those guys. Wouldn't have it any other way. We've got Havili Brain. I don't want to butcher this name here, but... Havili just became a channel member. He's a sound-off superstar. I salute you with my sound-off mug. Welcome to the channel. I know we had some channel memberships lapse for some people who were gifted memberships. So hopefully you guys will consider renewing or maybe you might get gifted memberships by someone else. But to everybody who is still sticking with me, I appreciate you. By the way, I should mention this now because this is important. We're going to be live after Dynamite on Wednesday, but we're going to be doing 2 streams on Wednesday. You're getting double the dose of the sound off because we are doing a live watch along on Wednesday afternoon, probably around 1:30 or 2 o'clock Eastern time. of the very first episode of Monday Night Raw from January 11, 1993. This Wednesday is the 30-year anniversary of the very first Raw from the Manhattan Center. And so we're going to watch the entire episode. And so that watch-along will be open to everybody can watch, but only channel members will be able to interact in the live chat. So chat will be members only. So I hope that you will join if you perhaps had a membership that lapsed, that you will renew, and you will join me on Wednesday afternoon. That's going to be a lot of fun. Our first watch-along of 2023 is the very first Monday Night Raw. Money Benny. With $1.99, Triple H's guys suck, Hit Row especially. Is Money Benny meant to be a play off Money Penny from James Bond? I'm a big Roger Moore guy. Roger Moore is the best Bond. I like Daniel Craig too, but I was never, you know, everyone talks about Sean Connery, and I was a Roger Moore guy. Big Roger Moore guy is James Bond. Eric, well, the Hammerstein Ballroom is part of the Manhattan Center, but that is not where Raw was in 1993. The Hammerstein Ballroom is on the very first level when you walk into the Manhattan Center. It is a bigger building than the Grand Ballroom. The Grand Ballroom is all the way up on the eighth floor. That is where Monday Night Raw was in the early years. Deep Delicious says, I predict Mercedes Monet, I have to say it right, I'm sorry, Mercedes Monet won't show up on Dynamite. That is his prediction, that Mercedes will not show up on Dynamite on Wednesday. I say that she will. And Booker from Hell, with the $2 super chat, Kali against Giant Gonzalez, hour-long Iron Man match. That is an appropriate match from the Booker from Hell. Hey, Havili, our new channel member, dropping a $13 super chat here. If the rumor that there is going to be a Hell in a Cell match at the Royal Rumble is true, what is your choice? Reigns against Owens or Edge against Finn Balor? Well, we already saw Reigns and Owens in War Games, and I kind of feel like it would be redundant to put them back in a cage again, but Edge and Balor is ice cold. You know, it's been months. So if they can get Edge back on TV in the next, well, I would say by next week, to be honest with you, and really kind of heat this issue up between them again, because the last time we saw Edge, you know, he was getting his ass kicked by the Judgment Day. But I feel like the whole thing has gone ice cold. So they have a few weeks left. They can heat it back up. I think Edge and Balor would probably make more sense, just because we've already seen Reigns and Owens in a cage. At Survivor Series, do we really need to see it again at the Royal Rumble? Armchair Critic, why are most of Triple H's Mania matches underwhelming? Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. They haven't all been underwhelming, but really, his first really good WrestleMania match was 17. Against The Undertaker as the American Badass. And I actually really liked that match. I thought that was an excellent match that he and The Undertaker had in 2001. His match with Jericho, I thought, was not good. Especially not for a WrestleMania main event. I just thought it was boring. And they had to follow Rock and Hogan, which was going to be impossible. His match at WrestleMania 20 was excellent. His match at 21 with Batista, I thought, was very good. His match at 22 with Cena, I thought, was very good. 24 was the triple threat. That was forgettable. I remember the lights went out briefly during that match. 25 sucked. 26 with Sheamus, it was an undercard match. It was, you know, from what I remember, it was good. 27 with The Undertaker was excellent. 28 with The Undertaker, I thought, was, you know, was very good. I was there live. That was my first live Mania for the Hell in a Cell match. 29. Who did he wrestle at 29? Oh, Brock Lesnar. Yeah, that sucked. 30 with Daniel Bryan was excellent. I thought the opening match at 30 was excellent that he had with Danielson. 31 with Sting. Don't get me started on that. 32 with Roman Reigns sucked. 33 with Seth Rollins, it was good, but I don't like that match the way that other people do. I thought it was actually, I don't know, I thought it was underwhelming. 34 was excellent. Him and Stephanie against Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey. You could not have booked a better debut for Ronda Rousey than they had on that show for her. I mean, that match was better than it had any right to be. That was the best match on the card at WrestleMania 34. 35 with Batista sucked. I thought it was boring. And I guess that's it, right? I mean, that'll go down as his final match, his final WrestleMania match. So, yeah, on the whole, you know, for a star of his caliber, more underwhelming matches than great ones, I would say, at WrestleMania for Triple H. Hey, we got Loose Cannon with us. Look at this, with the $4.99. What's going on? Actually, Justin Jack just became a channel member for the fourth straight month. 4 months for Justin Jack. Jack, thank you. But Loose Cannon says, if Vince McMahon is the best wrestling promoter, who would be the second best promoter behind Vince? Thank you for all of the great work, as always. I think everybody is pretty much just fighting for number two. Yeah, if we're counting domestic and we're not looking in Japan, Mexico, you know, anything like that. Bill Watts had a lot of success, you know, Jim Crockett had a lot of success. God, you know, Sam Mushnick, Eddie Graham, Fritz Von Erich. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're all pretty much fighting for number two. I don't know that there's a definitive number two. Bischoff obviously had success against Vince for a short period of time. In the grand scheme of things, it was a relatively short period of time. If you want to base your decision just on that alone, I guess you could say Bischoff, but I don't know. It's not as clear cut. Number two is not as clear cut to me. Miguel says Antonio Pena. Yeah, when you expand it out to other countries, it probably is someone like Pena. Heel Lucas says, thanks for all the work that you do. Lucas, thank you. Thank you for saying that. God of Seduction, buy, sell, Kurt, Shane, King of the Ring, or Triple H, Foley, Royal Rumble? For me, I'm a Triple H, Foley, Royal Rumble guy. I love that match from Madison Square Garden. So I buy on that. Money Benny says Triple H, Eric Bischoff, or Paul Heyman booking. Paul Heyman. And Juan Ocampo, grow back the fro. Do a hair versus hair match in House of Glory. I don't want to grow the fro back ever again. I don't want that to happen. I want that to be a relic that we look back on when we watch some of those old streams back from the year 2000 or 2000 from the year 2020. I wasn't streaming in 2000. I'm not that old. From the year 2020, I'm going to look back on that. It's going to be quite a sight to see. I don't want to go back to that. Deep Delicious says MJF should pay House of Torture to attack the Blackpool Combat Club. Oh, God. You know, I saw Evil at Wrestle Kingdom, and it really hit me what a fall he's had. Not that it isn't deserved. I have no interest in seeing Evil back in New Japan main events, but you know, for a guy who was on top at one point, to see where he's been and what he's been doing, it's like, man, what a fall for Evil, huh? West Coast James, Terror Rising, had quite the career. Oh, yeah. Jean-Paul Levesque. Remember that match Jean-Paul Levesque had with Alex Wright at Starrcade back in 94? William Rabb with the $5 incoming super chat. Why do you think there's a disconnect with Bray's storyline? Different tastes? Do you think what we're seeing is Bray's vision on TV? I think it is more of his vision now, certainly now more than it was during the previous regime. And I'm not even saying it's bad. Like, I was into the whole White Rabbit thing, and his return, I thought, was great, and everybody went gaga for it. But I think it's just at the point now where, you know, he's been back since the beginning of October. And so now it's the beginning of January. It's been a few months. Outside of some live events that he's wrestled against Jinder Mahal, we have yet to see Bray back in the ring. And at the end of the day, it is a wrestling show. So you can get away with doing segments like that for a while, but then you get to a point where it's like, all right, it's time to get in the ring. Now, he's going to have a match at the Royal Rumble. That'll be his big in-ring return. But a lot of these segments, when he comes out on television now, he's got the cool entrance. He's got the cool music. People still dig him. They're still into him. But he just repeats himself. He says the same shit. Even if the words change slightly, he's been coming out and basically treading water now for weeks. It's the same shit every single week in terms of the promos. And so it's just a matter of how I'm at a point now where I'm getting very bored with it. And I'm ready for this to move on to whatever the next phase of this storyline is going to be. It's just, it's not moving fast enough. It's like a fucking glacier. It's like a slow-moving glacier. And I also, frankly, I'm a big LA Knight guy, and I don't know that this is, the longer this goes on for, I don't know that it's really doing him any favors at all. And I just don't want this to, you know, end up damaging him in some way. I'd rather see him come out of this, you know, bigger than anything else, so he can move on to something bigger and better. So, you know, we're just at that point now where I'm just like, all right, I've seen it. I've heard the same promos over and over again, and I'm ready for whatever is coming next. And we're not even going to get the match for another, you know, 3 weeks. So it gets old. You know, I know he's telling stories and there's little callbacks and Easter eggs and stuff, but, you know, you can only get away with that for so long. You've got to give the people some action here. You've got to do something different. Snow Dog says, I hope LA Knight squashes Bray. Bray will not be squashed. Sadly, if anybody is going to get squashed, it'll probably be LA Knight. I just hope he can come out of this, you know, okay, and you know, move on to something at the, you know, intercontinental level, you know, somewhere around there. Yeah, I mean, he does. He repeats himself a lot. There's just not enough variety in what he's saying. Again, some of the words might change. He can be a great promo guy. You know, we saw a little bit of that a few weeks ago when LA Knight was mouthing off to him, and he kind of snapped back at him, and he said, "Listen, you little idiot." Like, there was part of that promo where I was like, "All right, this sounds a little bit different here." But for the most part, it is. It's the same stuff being said over and over again. And how many times can you see that before you get tired of it? Hey, Havili, dropping another $13 super chat. If WrestleMania's main event should have been a triple threat match 13 with Shawn and Bret, 15 or 29, if rumor was true, Show and Taker would have happened, who would be the fourth man in the Fatal 4-Way at WrestleMania 16? I'm not sure what you said there. We had a 4-Way at 16. It was Rock, Triple H, Foley, and Big Show. I never heard anything about Undertaker, if he was healthy to be on the show, being part of the 4-Way. I think they were missing some guys. They were missing, namely, Undertaker and Steve Austin. If both of them were healthy and on the show, I think it's possible we would have had Austin against Undertaker, which probably would have been the end of the streak before it even really got going. But there have been a lot of rumors about what he would or would not have been doing. You know, for all the interviews that Undertaker did when he was doing all the media for his documentary series, I sit here now, and now these questions come to me, and that was always one of my questions, because he was supposed to come back earlier that year. you know, Undertaker was supposed to be coming back in January, and he got hurt in the gym, which he talked about, actually. He did address that. He was in the gym training for his comeback, and I think he was in the gym with Bryan Adams, Crush. And Crush wasn't paying attention and spotting him, and I think that's he tore his pec. So then Undertaker was out for another, like, 4 months, and they did a whole big thing where Kane came back. Kane was gone for, like, 2 weeks, but they put Paul Bearer with Kane. Kane came back on TV, and that was the night they did that great 10-man tag with the Radicals on Raw. I think it was the February 7th, I think, of 2000. But my question to The Undertaker and all those interviews, if I were interviewing him, would have been, hey, what was the plan for you at WrestleMania? I'm sure they must have discussed what his comeback plan would be or who his opponent would be. Would he have come back as the American Badass in January, or did that only come about because he had extra time off? Right? That's one of those questions I wish somebody would have asked him. But it didn't happen. We still don't know, but I've always wondered about that. Had he come back when he was supposed to at the beginning of the year, would he have been the Dead Man or would he have been the American Badass? And what would the plan have been for him at WrestleMania 16? Rock and Triple H was supposed to be the main event at WrestleMania 16. Because Steve Austin was not ready to be part of the match, they pushed it back by a month. Otherwise, that would have been the WrestleMania main event. We basically got the WrestleMania main event at Backlash. And Rock and Triple H, they never had a proper singles match at WrestleMania, which was crazy. We almost got it at 32, but it just didn't work out. And now that ship has sailed, unfortunately. And Havili, again, have a great day from Australia. It is Tuesday, January 10th. Well, it's Tuesday, January 10th here as well. But thank you, brother. Thank you for the super chats, and thank you for becoming a channel member. Hopefully, we'll see more of you here on the channel. But thank you. Was WrestleMania 2000 a good show? Never watched that one. Heard mixed feelings. No, it was actually one of the... Really, from that decade, I thought it was one of the worst WrestleManias. I don't think there was a single... Was there a singles match on that show? I don't believe there was. I think every single match, I think, was a multi-man match. There might have been a women's match. Oh, yeah, you know what? It might have been Terry and the Cat, maybe. They had a singles match. But as far as the men, I don't think there was a single singles match on that entire card. But I don't remember that being one of the better WrestleManias. I mean, they did have the... I mean, let's be honest. It was basically the first TLC match. I know they didn't call it that, but that's what it was. With Edge and Christian, the Hardys and the Dudleys, that was great. But I... That's one of those WrestleManias I never have any interest in going back and rewatching. Do I think Triple H should stay in charge of SmackDown and Vince McMahon takes over Raw Creative because he is better at three-hour shows? On what planet is Vince McMahon better at three-hour shows? Where are you getting that from? Hunter, I have no idea why you think Vince McMahon was good or still good at writing or booking a three-hour Raw show. No. Absolutely not. Vince McMahon and WWE Creative are two things that should never go together ever again. But Hunter, I mean, here's the thing. Even if there were some great... It's not like every single Raw under Vince McMahon in the last 10 years was a terrible Raw. I'm not saying every single episode was awful or a 1 out of 10. But the consistency was such that there was way more bad Raws than there were good Raws. And there had to be a change. There had to be a change. He is not what he used to be. He's not. He's been doing this 40 years. He's almost 80 years old. It is a show that needed a fresh pair of eyes and a fresh vision. Triple H looked like he was giving us a fresher vision. In some ways, I think he has. And I think with Raw, he's lost his way over the last few months. It has not been as fun as it was over the summer. SmackDown has largely been doing very well and kicking ass, but I said it the other day, when the Bloodline storyline is over and the Sami Zayn stuff is over, they're in a lot of trouble if they don't come up with something else on that show to appeal to the masses. Take the Bloodline out of SmackDown. SmackDown sucks too. But the answer is not to go backwards to the way things were before. That is not the answer. That is never the answer. You have managers and coaches in sports who have Hall of Fame careers, and they coach themselves to multiple championships. But eventually, Father Time beats everybody down. You age out, your mind starts to go, you're just not as sharp, you're not as good as you used to be. It happens to everybody. At some point, you have to know when to let go and step aside and give somebody else a chance. And now Triple H has been given a chance. It hasn't even been a full year yet. And all of this talk about Vince McMahon, you know, he's back, and potentially one of these days he may be back in a position to have authority over the creative, you know, aspect of this product. That would be a terrible, terrible idea. Absolutely terrible. We could get a boring Triple H Raw for the next 4 weeks, for another month. Bringing back Vince McMahon would still not be the answer. That option has to be off the table. All right, now that you've gotten me riled up talking about Vince, let's wind down here. Like I said, I'll be live with you again on Wednesday, twice. We're going to do the watch-along Wednesday afternoon. We're going to watch the first Monday Night Raw. Big Dynamite this Wednesday from the Forum in L.A. They're going to have 10,000 people in the building. Will Mercedes be there? Will she not be there? We'll find out. Match 7 in the Best of 7 series for the Trios titles as well. Bryan Danielson against Konosuke Takeshita, which I'm very much looking forward to. Then we have SmackDown coming up on Friday. Got Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn on that show. And Gunther defends his Intercontinental Championship against Braun Strowman. You know what that means. That means the Strowman Express. It's being primed and ready for a ride on Friday night. So we got some big shows coming up this week. If you missed it, episode 790 of the Sound Off went up on all audio platforms yesterday. I hope that you will give it a listen if you have not already done so. Thank you for all of the super chats, all the support, all the love tonight. I appreciate it. We've got God of Seduction, Naked Midian appears. I have no idea why you would say that as I'm getting ready to go to bed. That's the last thing I wanted to have an image of in my head, but thank you. And O'Harold, have you ever applied to be a writer in wrestling? No. I don't want that job. I've never wanted the job of writing for WWE. That sounds terrible. Or at least it did under Vince McMahon, but that just sounds awful to me. Why would you put that evil upon me? I thought you liked me. Why do you want to see me suffer? Anyway, be well, stay safe, and I will see you guys back here for more live Solid Monster content, same Solid Monster channel, coming up on Wednesday, and back here for what I hope is a much better, more enjoyable episode of Raw next Monday. So until then, take care, guys.